Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I'd like to brief you, if I could, please, on the informal heads of delegation meeting, which has just concluded. Try my best to give you some idea of what we could expect today, and then take any questions that you might have. The Director General began by explaining to the members what had transpired yesterday. There was, as you know, a meeting of the seven large countries that took place in the afternoon, and that was followed up by a meeting of the larger group of 30-plus countries, which includes group coordinators from all the principal WTO groups. The nine issues I've been mentioning over the past few days were discussed. In the interest of time, I won't go through those, but if you want a refresher, just let me know. He considers, does the DG, these nine areas to be the most difficult and urgent, and they are therefore the key to possible progress in other areas as well. That said, negotiating chairs, Crawford Faulkner for Agriculture and Don Stephenson for NAMA, are continuing their consultations on a variety of issues, many of which are very closely related to the nine. The DG's assessment, his overall impression, he says, is that some convergences have been recorded, but progress remains painfully slow after 4 days of ministerial-level negotiation. We will need to, he said, change gears very quickly to turn things around in the limited time remaining. With respect to the substance, he said there was agreement to work within the ranges in the draft modalities texts, but serious differences remain between the low end and the high end of many ranges. On the question of overall trade distorting domestic support in the U.S. and the EU, we are not there yet, he said, but there is a convergence around a 70% cut in the top band, that is to say, those agricultural products with the highest tariffs, and that would be around 70%. On the cotton issue, as I mentioned to you yesterday, this is linked inextricably to the outcome of the cuts in trade-distorting domestic support. With respect to tariffs that exceed 100%, members discussed the ranges in the chairman's texts, but did not achieve any convergence. On the question of sensitive products, members discussed both the numbers and the treatment of these products. There was some convergence on the number of products which may be designated as sensitive by members, but there are still problems for some countries. Differences also persisted in the size of tariff rate quotas as a percentage of domestic consumption for agriculture that should be provided as compensation for sensitive products. There was limited discussion on whether members should be permitted to create new quotas of this nature, as this issue is linked to the broader issue of the number of tariff lines that would be designated sensitive. On the question of special products, he says, we are not there yet on both the number of tariff lines and the exemption of a certain percentage of those lines from any tariff cut. On the question of the special safeguard mechanism, which is obviously a major issue, the DG said, there was positive engagement and a number of ideas were floated with the negotiating group chair, and Ambassador Faulkner is following up on this. With respect to the special safeguard safeguard from the Uruguay round, there were some signs of flexibility. On NAMA, there has been limited progress in narrowing the ranges for formulas and flexibilities. On anti-concentration, there were some limited signs of flexibility with references being made to possible numbers of national tariff lines and the values of trade. There was some sympathy for the suggestion that small chapters containing very few tariff lines should be exempted from the application of this anti-concentration clause. On sectoral arrangements, Members explore the possibility of language that would make clear the non-mandatory nature of the sectoral proposal while at the same time allowing for its operationalization. The NAMA chairman, Don Stephenson, reported to members that in his separate consultations involving non-reciprocal preferences, small and vulnerable economies, and treatment for the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. So, he said, modest progress in 4 days of ministerial-level negotiation. However, he said, I believe there is still time to turn this around. But the issues will not mature unless positions move and move quite radically. In my next round of consultations, starting with the small group after the informal TNC. If we do not see this rapid progress towards convergence, I am afraid, he said, that the deal you all came here to do this week will not happen with all the attendant consequences. This is the blunt reality, he said. The situation as I see it is critical, edging between success and failure. A mutually beneficial Doha package is very much within your grasp, but you will all have to give hard thought to your red lines, not in a week, not in a month, but in the next hours. If you, the negotiators, show no further flexibility to deliver outcomes that take account of different interests in the next hours, you will face the serious consequences of failure. We are confronted with both an historic opportunity and equally a very heavy responsibility. The world outside will not understand if we fail to grasp this opportunity to conclude a round that already has a great deal on the table and promises much more. Time is running out, and the next 24 hours are crucial, so I ask all of you once again to spare no effort to resolve the outstanding issues. He then said it was necessary to postpone the formal TNC scheduled for tomorrow. He said it may be necessary as well to reschedule the services signaling conference. He urged all delegations to stand ready to meet again in the informal heads of delegation format on short notice at any time over the next 24 hours. He then asked Norwegian Foreign Minister Stora to speak to the question of the three trade-related intellectual property questions that we've been discussing this week. Minister Stora took the floor to disclose to members the results of his consultations. He said that in the course of yesterday, he had a considerable number of consultations with individual delegations, that his aim has been not only to understand better the concerns of members, but to assess where areas of flexibility may lie. He stressed that there was a very close link between the issues he is discussing and the developments in the overall picture of the Doha negotiations. He said the major differences that have been dividing delegations remain. With respect to the wines and spirits register, these differences seem mainly to revolve around a small number of important and technical differences concerning the legal effects of any registration. On the question of the extension of geographical indications and the link between the TRIPS agreement and the Convention on Biodiversity, he said that important differences remain on the issues of mandate and process on the one hand and substances and substance on the other. A number of delegations took the floor to express concern about the state of play. Several delegations suggested that the Director General might put forward a text of his own. His response to this was not the way for convergence. There would be no surprises. What we have before us are texts that are the result of over a year's worth of work by all the members, that these texts are the basis for discussion at the moment, that the answer lies inside these texts, but revisions are required. And these revisions will be continuing in terms of efforts being made, and that all members will have a say, and indeed all members will have to decide on whether or not an overall package is acceptable. He stressed this very clearly. With that, I'm happy to take your questions. Ravi.
Yesterday in the green room, Argentina said that it cannot, it told the Director General that it had repeatedly told him that it cannot agree to the numbers in the ranges in the NAMA text. How is it that the Director General is saying that the ranges are still the basis?
There's a difference between saying that ranges are a basis and that ranges in all areas will necessarily be the final outcome, which is not to say that the ranges may shift. The discussion is ongoing. Many delegations have concerns about many elements in the ranges, but these texts are the only basis we have for negotiations, and that's very clear. To go outside of these texts at this stage would be very dangerous, and that's something that's been stressed really by all members. In terms of how this may wind out, it'll be a subject for discussion throughout the course of the day. Anything more? Oui, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, Keith. Est-ce que tu peux confirmer que le DG fournira un texte ou présentera un texte au CET sur avec des chiffres médians pour assurer la convergence entre les CET sur les 6 chapitres agricole et les 3 chapitres industriels.
Together with the negotiating chairs, the Director General has suggested possible areas of convergence, taking into account all the different perspectives. He's been doing this really for some time. He has, together with the chairs, been meeting individually and in small groups, as well as the larger groups, with members to try to find places to test, really, where common ground may be found. So he has made some proposals involving specific numbers. Are these things which members can accept? Testing these things to try and see if there might be a convergence that could be built around these numbers. Yes, please.
Yes, small follow-up. Is that for agriculture and for NAMA that he has given some figures?
Yes, it is. Yes, Ram.
Keith, how today is organized? What are the meetings taking place? And second question, did the Norwegian minister had a meeting with the U.S.?
On the first question, the seven countries will start their consultations in about 15 minutes. The rest of the day will unfold based on what happens in those consultations. But the idea is to go to the wider group later. How much later will depend again on what happens with respect to this group of seven very large countries. In terms of who it is that Minister Stora consulted, I don't have the answer for you. I'll try to get it, or perhaps I'll have Peter look into it, and if you come by and ask him, we'll get an answer for you. Hedeyet.
What are the sensitive products that there are convergence about?
Well, it's not specific products. It's the notion of the range of products, how many. In the text of the chair is a possibility of being able to designate between 4% and 6% of tariff lines as sensitive. And those products would not apply the full formula tariff cut to those products. What percentage of the tariff cut would be applied is still subject to negotiation. You would have to increase a tariff rate quota that you applied for those products. And the extent to which that would be expanded, that's also subject to some debate. So there are some countries that believe that the lower end of that spectrum should be the one which is chosen. Others believe the higher end. Yes, please, Laura.
What was the general tone of the TNC in terms of what countries were expressing? Is there a sense of concern that wasn't there before about the substance as well as the process?
I should be clear about one thing this was raised by a couple of delegations. The success or not of this of this negotiation will not be resulting from the process. It's a question of substance. There was discussion on some elements of substance, but I would say today's discussion was very largely about concern as to what will happen in the coming hours. There was a lot of concern expressed really by all members as to how, certainly how the next few hours might be handled, but the overall outcome is what people were most concerned with and what that might be. Yes, please, Imogen.
Have you got commitment from all these ministers to stay into next week if it drags on until next week, or will it stop being a ministerial on Monday and be something different?
There was a very strong indication last night that ministers were prepared to stick this thing out if they had indications today that there was progress that would make that worth their while. Very clear indications in the larger group specifically. The larger group was supportive of the G7 process. They understood when you get 80% of world trade in a room, this is significant. They understand that the wider membership will be involved in any decision, and that consultations will take place across the wider spectrum. But they also know that if we don't get something out of this group of seven countries, then the other processes can't start to kick in. So the answer to your question is they very much want to hear about what's happening in these consultations this afternoon, and I think decisions, without speaking for any minister, but I think that decisions regarding your point would be taken after people could assess what's been going on in this meeting today. Ravi, and then over to Aud.
You said several countries asked the DG to produce a text. When you say several, do they mean three, four, two? What's the number, and who are these countries?
As you know, in informal meetings, we don't divulge the specifics, but I could say three or four is a good number, yeah. Yes, Aud, please.
Yes, j'aimerais comprendre, I would like to understand what would be a failure today, what would be...
Allez-y en français.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead in French if you want.
Hein?
You can speak in French if you want, Aud.
Okay. Non, je voudrais comprendre ce qui va être considéré comme un échec aujourd'hui, parce qu'il y a des ministres ou des ambassadeurs qui nous disent « Oui, mais si on n'arrive pas aux modalités aujourd'hui, on ne peut quand même pas considérer que la semaine soit un échec. » Alors, est-ce qu'aujourd'hui, si on n'arrive pas à atteindre les modalités, est-ce que le directeur général va considérer que cette semaine est un échec ?
If I wouldn't want to define what would represent a failure, but I think it would be pretty clear that you'll recognize it if it happens. Okay? We tend to have around here meetings that end with a result. That's why you like coming so much. Many other meetings can go on and on without a result. Our meetings tend to come up with a result one way or the other. So, in terms of what exactly might be a definition, I don't know. But I would say that if we're unable to reach agreement on agriculture and NAMA modalities in the days to come, it would be very disappointing indeed. Yes, Laura.
We've heard several people describe this meeting this week as the last chance for the Doha round. And if this meeting ends in anything other than egg and NAMA modalities, is that really it? What's your thought?
Well, there's been a lot of hard work put into this process, and there has been progress made this week. There's no question. I think a better way to consider this would be that we would have to take a break, there's no question. How governments would feel sometime in the not too distant future about resuming is an open question. You know that there are, the political calendar is full and varied, that we may see different players. We will for sure see some different players. And how people choose to proceed following this week's activities is an open question on any number of fronts, depending on what happens. So I would say that to say that members would be prepared to abandon the sort of work that they've put in here, which is intensive, certainly over the course of the last 12 months, it's not in the nature of negotiators to walk away from the kinds of things that they will have constructed. So, I mean, I don't know what will happen. But, I mean, I would not say that that all is lost under any circumstances by the end of this week, regardless of what happens. Yes, please, Dan.
Keith, the DG made it clear before the meeting that there was no plan B, that there were no other options other than success and failure. Is he reconsidering those thoughts, and has there been any discussion on ideas such as freezing text or perhaps coming back in September?
I can tell you the DG is not working on plan B. His plate is very, very full, and he is working on plan A. And that's the only thing he can do, and that's what he will continue to do for as long as ministers are prepared to keep working very hard. Yes, Richard.
Keith, has the DG had some phone calls with important persons outside of the group sitting here in Geneva? That means, are there some consultations on high level going on? Can you confirm or deny that?
I don't know of any that he has had, which doesn't mean he hasn't had any. I've read in the press accounts of today that there have been high-level discussions on this issue, but I am not aware of any phone calls that the DG has had to anyone outside of here. I think the people he wants to speak to are pretty close at hand, frankly. Yes, please.
Keith, can you tell us, for the time being, is there anything scheduled after the green room later today or tomorrow, next week? Anything certain? No. Thank you.
No, the DG has asked, he asked the TNC, the informal TNC today, to be on standby. So, and as I said earlier, all events from now on will flow from the results of the meeting that's starting now in 6 minutes. Can I take one more? Brad, please.
Keith, will the signaling conference go forward with or without ministers? If they were to leave early, would that take place at ambassadorial or some other level?
I can't for sure say I know the answer to that question, Brad, but I would not think so, no. I'll go out on a limb and say I think it's pretty unlikely. Okay, thanks very much. We'll be in touch.